Beanie Wells. Oh, look like a man with a painted face and a dark heart.
Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground.
Touchdown, Arizona!
That was beautiful!
Oh, my goodness!
The latest news and notes on the Arizona Cardinals from the guys who cover the team.
It's a first down for the Cardinals. Leinart made the play.
Oh, baby! DRC can take off the hood and drop the sickle. This one's over.
From Studio 229B in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Adrian Wilson just ate his liver with fava beans and a fine Chianti.
Larry Fitzgerald. Oh, my goodness.
This is football at its finest.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
All right, ladies, if you're done going Hollywood with a brand new picture for Cardinals Underground, Wolf, you know, he didn't even bring the pancake makeup or anything. Did you wear the pancake makeup on Saturday, though, by the way, for Cardinals TV? Did you do that, Ron Wolfley?
I did not, as a matter of fact, and I paid the price. Ooh, yes. I paid the price, Paulie. By the way, nice Vogue shot right there with that picture for the podcast today.
Paulie, pancake makeup over here, Darren Urban over there, Ron Wolfley, of course, Jim Omohundro running things over here, giving the hand signals. It is Cardinals Underground and azcardinals.com. And as I scan the room, I'm trying to gauge whether we have the necessary sense of urgency. Don't make me go Coach Wisenhunt and break out a four-letter word here on Cardinals Underground that begins with a J. Don't make me do it, all right? By the way, Darren Urban, you were there to start week three of camp, week two of the preseason, the Monday press conference on the power pole of perturbed. Where would you rate Coach Wisenhunt there? I mean, that's about as ornery as we're going to see him in front of the media, isn't it?
You know, it's funny because when the press conference started, it didn't really seem that way. And actually, in terms of voice tenor, he didn't raise his voice, but in the words he chose, yeah, you got the definite sense that he was not a happy camper.
It was sort of a slow build, you know, and then question after question after answer, and then eventually he just bottom lined it. Wolf, he was not happy with preseason game number one, especially on the offensive side through the first three quarters.
You know, I'll let you journal jockeys decipher whether or not, you know, you journalism jockeys, I'll let you decipher whether or not you thought he was a little agitated in the press conference. I, on the other hand, happened to notice that I thought he was a lot more animated on the field Monday afternoon for practice. I saw arms go up. I saw arms come down with intent. I saw pointing. I saw arms extended. I saw fingers being waved. I saw him coaching up a lot of players. And I don't know if it was because I was looking for it, because I thought maybe Coach Wiz would be a little bit more animated. But to me, he did seem that way. He definitely seemed a lot more animated in regard to the offense and how the offense was performing in practice.
So let's talk about preseason game number one against the Texans. It was a 19-16 win, but it didn't feel that way through the first three quarters. And I talked to players on and off the record. They said, you know what? It looked worse on film. And that's why Coach Wisenhunt was so animated. And they said what really made it so bad was that when you watch the Texans, they were imminently beatable. Cardinals felt they should have been beating them repeatedly based on what the Texans were doing. And it was all self-inflicted mistakes. And I think that's what got the coaching staff. That's what got their ire up.
Well, I mean, obviously the money quote from the press conference that Wisenhunt had was he was talking about the J word you referred to was joke. Mm-hmm. And he said it was a joke that the offense at one point a couple times didn't line up the way they should. And his point was these plays are plays that had been run 25 times in practice so far, and we were running them like it was the first time. That's what he called a joke. And, I mean, that's a huge red flag to me. I mean, if you're running things repeatedly in practice and you're not getting lined up the right way, it reminds me of the famous Dave McGinnis quote talking to Matt Cody, you know, telling Mac, hey, there's a lot of things that are hard in this game. Lining up right isn't one of them.
Yeah, there is nothing that will drive a coaching staff, and especially a head coach, more crazy than mental errors. MEs are just inexcusable, especially in the first preseason game of the year, and you're talking about your starters, your guys who are going to be out there during the regular season. The reason being, of course, is because the game plan is so simple. It's so cut down. you should not be making any mental errors out there. And I think that's what really got the burr under Coach Wiz. And it's not the physical mistakes. I think he can look at the Brandon Keiths of the world and his first and very notable pass set against Mario Williams and just what a disaster that was. I think he can excuse that and say, you know what, you used poor technique right here. It was a poor pass set. You got your feet underneath you. You were back on your heels. You missed on your step. Bad hands. I think you can explain that away easily. But the mental errors, that's what drives a coach absolutely crazy. And just for the record, let me come back to Brandon Keith and say, I love how much this man recovered, this young man, how he recovered coming back from, I mean, an embarrassing disaster. You cannot have anything worse happen to you as an offensive lineman than to be out on that island in front of everybody, especially at home, and get roller coasted. I'm talking about put on tracks and dumped at the bottom of the dive. You just, there's nothing worse that could happen to you. So to me, to see the way he recovered, I think that says something about Brandon Keith and hopefully represents a growth spurt, if you will.
Can I argue with that comment? Because according to the players and the coaches, there is something that is worse than that, and that is if you just miss your guy entirely because it's a missed assignment. And that's what I'm told was going on. There were guys running free. There were running backs who didn't make the right reads, who were going through the wrong holes. There could have been a 25-yard gain, end up being two because he totally misread the play in the hole. And so that's what I'm to understand was going on.
Have you ever been dumped at the bottom of the dive in front of 65,000 and knowing that the entire basin was watching as well? Have you ever been dumped? Has another man ever picked you up and trucked you in front of everybody? Let me tell you right now, an ME can be explained away easily by any football player. Oh, you know what? I just spaced it. You cannot say. What are you going to say when you get trucked, when you get dove into, and somebody just crushes you? What are you going to say then, Paul?
I think Paul was just trying to segue there. I think that's all that was.
Although I'm perfectly willing to tell my Tim Ryan story from high school. 172-pound fullback Tim Ryan, future Chicago Bear, and what exactly he did to me as I tried to go through the hole.
Spare us.
So let's start with the quarterbacks, Darren Irvin. Yes. You know what? I really don't want to tell that story either, to be honest with you. Coach Wisenhunt said he expects more. Why? What didn't he see, do you think, in game one?
When he was talking, his first set point was that the quarterbacks didn't play well enough. He went on to say that wasn't to denigrate the quarterback specifically. He definitely was upset with the entire offense. But he also said that it's up to the quarterbacks to come up with a way to bring the offense with them and make it better. You know, a great point was the fumbled handoff to Tim Hightower. I guess Lyle Sendline, the center, stepped on Matt Leinart as he came back. They didn't hook up on the handoff. There was also Brian Cushing, I believe, right in the backfield because nobody blocked him, and the ball ends up on the ground. Wisenhunt says, I understand the trips are going to happen. You still got to make that handoff. You still got to make that play. I don't care if you got tripped. Kurt Warner had been tripped a few times last year, and he invoked KW's name, by the way, which I thought was very interesting.
Yes,
when you're
absolutely
talking about Matt Leinart.
Yep.
And he said, but Kurt would find a way to make the handoff. I think Matt Leinart played a little bit better than Derek Anderson did.
Agreed.
Given the circumstances, but I don't think anybody was wowed by either way. And yes, Wolf, I mean, and again, it comes down to you're not game planning a whole lot.
Yeah.
There's only so much that's going to happen. But at the same time, you know, everybody knows that the fan base, even this coaching staff, everybody's kind of, I don't want to say on edge watching these quarterbacks, but you're saying, okay, what do we got here? Where are we going? And you wish it would have been a little bit better. 0 points through, you know, three quarters, that raises a red flag, whether it's preseason and no game planning or not.
A couple of things here, a couple of thoughts. Number one on Matt Leinart tripping as he backed away from the center quarterback exchange. You know, it's funny. The Cardinals have gone live, what, maybe two times? Two goal line scrimmages, maybe three times they've gone with a goal line scrimmage. And I got to tell you, this is just me, and I'm going to make a point about this, an observation with a point. But the observation is this. You know, when you put the silks on for the first time of the year and you go out there, you see more quarterbacks getting stepped on in the first couple of preseason games because now all of a sudden the offensive linemen are moving with an urgency that you just can't manufacture in practice. You cannot seem to manufacture it in practice. Now, Matt's got to have good feet. There's no doubt about it. You've got to get out of that center's way. But it seems to me that you see this more and more in a preseason, especially early in the preseason, quarterbacks getting stepped on. And it's because of this new speed, this speed you cannot manufacture in practice unless you are going live. And yet, to me, the point is this. Coach Wiz also knows this and believes this. I would imagine he does. I could be dead wrong on this. But to me, he's not going to give any of the quarterbacks a break. He's going to be as hard on them as he is on anybody else. And that is a Ken Whisenhunt hallmark. He does not divvy about the praise left and right. It's just not in his DNA. He wants to keep players, I think, uncomfortable. I think especially players that need to establish that they belong in the National Football League and can play in the National Football League. He is not going to throw about praise to any player out there that is trying to establish himself.
I had a conversation with one coach after the game, and he just mentioned, and I'll put it this way, this is my own analogy, but if the quarterback is the heartbeat of the offense, through the first three quarters, the Cardinals' offense was flatlining. In other words, they're looking for a spark. They're looking for a pulse. They're looking for a heartbeat in the offense. And I think, you know, more than just the stats and more just the completed passes, they want a guy who's going to take command of the offense and be the leader. And whereas Derek Anderson maybe at times was going downfield with abandon, and, you know, Matt Leinart wasn't going downfield enough. And the one time he did go downfield was to Larry Fitzgerald, and that ended up getting Larry injured on a big hit from the DB. And, you know, there's more than one guy, by the way, on the sideline who shouted out, cheap shot, you know, just preseason style.
Yeah, absolutely.
They thought that was a little cheap.
Yeah, Paulie, let me jump in there, too, because that's a good jumping off point right there, is I don't know what crashed back there in the alley. Maybe a boot parade going on, but it doesn't matter.
Vinny doing his Tuesday collections.
I want to go back to what you just said, because I think the issue with Matt Leinart right now is timing. There's a couple of things going on, but number one, first and foremost, it's the timing. I think Matt Leinart is late on some of his throws. I think he's waiting for confirmation that wide receiver is indeed settling down and getting ready to come out of his break before he goes into that motion. It's a timing mechanism that is off right now for Matt Leinart. Now, how do you get that? How do you get that timing? Well, you get it through exposure to those wide receivers, exposure to the system, to the passing game that you're in. Experience is really the only way you get that timing down. And you get that confidence because you've got to throw those balls before they come out of their break, which Kurt Warner was a master at. Oh, my goodness. Kurt Warner would take his drop, go through his progression. When he planted that back foot, for the most part, Kurt had a very good idea where he was going to go with the ball. Matt Leinart's got to learn this right now. I think he made a nice throw to Larry Fitzgerald. It was a great read. It was a good throw. It was just late, which gave Eugene Wilson an opportunity to come in, because anytime you get that dig route, where that dig route starts to get to the center of the field, that deep in route that Larry got hurt on, now all of a sudden that safety has the opportunity to come in and make that play. And that's exactly what happened, but it goes back to the timing issue for Matt Leinart.
And at the moment, with Larry wearing a knee brace right now, Darren Urban, that certainly doesn't help the timing between Fitz and Matt Leinart.
You know, and obviously, you talk about needing timing. Timing is best served when you want to improve it by practicing together. And obviously, now you can't get that with Larry Fitzgerald.
That's a good point.
He's got a right MCL knee sprain. He's likely out for the rest of the preseason. I'm sure he's not going to play in any more games. Can he get back to practice before we get to that first week of the regular season? We'll see. He's obviously very limited right now. But it'd be a huge thing if he could be out there practicing with Matt, and now he's not going to have that. And that was Larry's point right after the injury happened. It's not so much that he's worried about coming back, because I think he's confident that'll happen, but the lost time I think could impact this offense. And let's face it, guys, we talk about where this offense is. This offense didn't look the first team offense especially didn't look a whole lot of exciting last year in the preseason.
No.
And we kept being told it'll come. And you had Kurt Warner at that point who, you know, hey, this guy's done it before. And then we get to the regular season, and what happened? It kind of stumbled out of the blocks against San Francisco, 16 points at home, got a little bit better in Jacksonville, and then fell apart against the Colts. I mean, these are the things that fans remember. These are the things that's why you're hoping to see a little bit more sooner, just to put everybody's mind at ease.
Yeah, 2009 preseason, they didn't score the first team offense their first touchdown until the third game, and it was late first half in that game when they scored their first touchdown. So, and now, as you mentioned, without Larry Fitzgerald, most important to him right now, he's been reduced to basically the mental reps at practice.
It's different now. You know, you're out here in the field and you have to be more cerebral. You have to learn. You have to watch the splits and watch the coverages because you can't run the route. So you're just learning from a different point of view.
All right, so as Coach Wisenhunt said, they already know what Larry can do. So you'll probably see him next in the season opener at St. Louis. Now, what did we learn about some of the new guys? I mean, Darren, go ahead. Let's name a few names right here. And you probably start with the first two rookies, the first and second rounders, D-dub squared, if you will.
Well, I mean, Dan Williams, I thought, played pretty well in his first game. And there's no question that the guy everybody noticed on either side of the ball was Darrell Washington, the second-round pick. Everybody's worried about Carlos Dansby being gone and all this stuff. And Darrell Washington in his first game was very, very impressive. Now, Coach Wisenhunt did put the caveat in that we are right now, our defense is more complicated in practice than it was in the game because we don't put anything in the game. And he's swimming a little bit in practice. He's not quite as proficient in practice. So let's pump the brakes a little bit about, you know, declaring this guy an all-pro already. But a great sign, especially for those who weren't sure that he was a good replacement for Dansby. I think that's a great first step.
You know, I love to walk around the sideline and talk to some of the coaches and some of the pro personnel and some of the college scouts before practice and, you know, talk a little football, unlike you guys that are over on the other sideline, talking to the media types and to going over your journals and taking notes, Paulie.
I love ice cream.
I love talking to a lot of the coaches. And the buzz was about Dan Williams and Darrell Washington and how well these two young defensive rookies actually played and how they went about their business. And I'm told that Dan Williams graded out fairly well, did a very nice job for his first NFL game. And we all know what Darrell Washington did. And, you know, one of the big concerns going into that game for any defensive coach and a rookie is how those rookies are going to tackle. It really is a big question mark because, as you know, you don't get tackling work up here. You don't get live situations where Darrell Washington's going to tackle. I was talking to Bill Davis. Bill Davis was telling me, Wolf, I'm telling you right now, I was on Darrell Washington all week long. How are you going to tackle? We know you can run. We know you can get there. Man, there is something going out in the back alley. We know you can get there. We know that you can run. But can you finish? That's what they wanted to see.
Hang on, Wolf. Let me handle this. Hey, pal, blow it out your ear.
And Darrell Washington finished. 13 tackles, 9 of them solo. He's got to keep it up. He's got to be consistent in his tackling. But that is always the big question mark going in to that first preseason game and thereafter for the rookies. Tackling at the college level is completely different than playing in the National Football League and trying to tackle somebody like a Beanie Wells or an Adrian Peterson. Quite a different task.
Coach Wisenhunt and his staff are not going to sing the praises of a rookie. We know that much.
No.
But Darrell Washington is unlike any other rookie in this camp because he comes self-contained, gentlemen. As Adrian Wilson told us in the Big Red Rage, when it came time for rookie night and singing during dinner and at dining hall, there's one guy who, in A-Dub's words, deserves a recording contract. And we went and we gave Darrell Washington the mic, American Idol style, and with a little backup accompaniment from Jim Omohundro, if you will, here we go. Take a listen to Darrell Washington unplugged.
It was Darrell Washington who put pressure on the quarterback.
Did I not just tell you that, David? This guy will stalk you, track you, and bag you.
What song are we going to get?
Well, I'm going to sing A Change Gonna Come by Sam Cooke.
All right, here we go.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, yours is like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it is.
Man, that is outstanding. I mean, how about Daryl Washington there, Wolf? Nice.
Sit down. Sit down, rookie.
What are you going, Simon Cowell over there? What do you mean, sit down?
Paulie, look, it's just the veteran in me coming out right now. Whenever a rookie could sing, we'd stop him. If he could sing, if he actually had any talent whatsoever.
Like Daryl Washington?
We'd tell him, sit down. Just sit down right now. Because it's the guy that hated to sing. It was the guy that couldn't sing. It was the guy that would do anything that he could to avoid singing. That was the guy that you wanted to get up there. That was the guy that you wanted to get up there and have him recite Hot Rod Lincoln.
The guy who's over in the corner of the dining hall going, oh, geez, don't pick me.
Exactly. Those that were terrified. That was the entertainment. Not somebody William who Hull. Could actually sing.
So what are the rookies acquitted themselves well, do you think, in that game number one? And by the way, I know he's a second-year guy, but here's another guy who will not get mentioned by the coaching staff, and that is Greg Toler. In my Paulie Pigskin report, I cited Greg Toler. That was a great breakup of the play. I fully still expect him, even though nobody's saying it, to be the starting corner against St. Louis in the regular season. I thought he played well. Who else, Darren Urban, ended up on azcardinals.com? Worth noting.
Well, I mean, obviously John Skelton led him to two touchdown drives in two possessions and won the game for him. And that was a great sign because, quite frankly, you know, John Skelton had struggled quite a bit at practice. And for him to come out and play that well in a game, I thought was really impressive. I thought Steven Williams, who's had a great camp as a rookie undrafted wide receiver, continued that in the game. I was impressed with that. I thought Max Komar, the receiver, showed up a little bit.
How about the story from John Skelton, by the way, after in the locker room on Cardinals radio, and he's saying, Max Komar told me before that play, just throw it up. Just throw it up. I'll go get it. And Skelton said, okay, here we go.
I would say that's a very smart thing for Max Komar to do right there. And the reason being is because if there was a knock against Max Komar, it's that you're not going to throw him any nine routes, are you now? Yep. Not going to do that. Guess what they did? They throw him a nine route, and it was a beautiful beautiful throw by John Big Red Skelton, as Dave Pash has named him. But Steven Williams is the one guy. Look, Skelton looked good. There's no doubt about that. Hopefully the creamy skin and the rosy cheeks belie the thorny heart that he actually has. Hopefully that's the case. But I will tell you that Steven Williams flashed. What a nice catch on the skinny post against three deep coverage where the safety came in and knocked the dog out of him, and he still held on to the ball. Steven Williams, at this point in time, even before that game, could not be caught. If the Arizona Cardinals caught him, he would be picked up so quickly, it's not even funny.
Fine listeners of Cardinals Underground, you realize and remember that an Edgar Allan Poe poem can break out at any time when Wolf is talking, so just keep that in mind. Somebody else that Coach Wisenhunt named was Deuce Latuhi.
Yes.
And for all the heat that Deuce took through much of the offseason, and much of it well-deserved, he is being cited, at least after game number one and through 3 weeks of camp, of standing out.
Well, I'll be honest, Paul. I thought Deuce has looked good all through camp, even before that game. I've noticed him out there. I mean, weight or no weight issue, I thought Deuce has been playing pretty well. So I'm not really all that surprised. I think we all knew that this was – in some ways, this is about a power struggle. This is about Coach making sure that – I mean – could Deuce get away with playing a little bit overweight? Now, he couldn't be as overweight as he was, but could Deuce get away with, instead of being in the low 340s, could he be in the mid 350s and probably get away with it? I would guess probably he could.
I think he's done it in the past.
But you can't have that as a coach. You can't have somebody, you know, going against the grain when everybody else is buying into the system and the program. And the program says you get set weights and you meet these weights. But I do think that Deuce is, he said to us that he's quote unquote around the corner from meeting his target weight. And I think once he's there, the way he's playing, I think it's going to be hard to keep him out of the starting lineup.
Yeah, let's talk about Deuce Latuhi right now. I don't think Deuce Latuhi is going anywhere. That's just my guess. And the reason being is because the moving of the umpire is indeed going to impact how teams run the football in the National Football League. I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to be more of a gap scheme, a power scheme running team than they are a zone team in Deuce Lutui. Oh, you talk about Deuce Lutui in 350 pounds, 360 pounds. When he comes down on you and you team him up with Brandon Keith, and those two guys come down on you when they run the power and you get a kick out on the outside linebacker and the guard, backside guard coming up through. When you've got Deuce and Brandon Keith coming down on you, that is an awful lot of beef jerky coming down on you, and they will remove you from the line of scrimmage. It's one of the things that makes Deuce my favorite to win that job at right guard, because he is uniquely situated, uniquely suited talent-wise to be in that power scheme, that gap scheme. And I think it's the best thing that probably happened to him.
Look, the NFL and pro sports comes down to one question. Can you play? That's what it comes down to. So for all the palaver in the offseason, okay, if you can play, you will play ultimately with most teams. And so far, Deuce has acquitted himself very, very well on that offensive line. Herman Johnson is another guy, believe it or not, who was getting some praises from coach, even though he had the weight issues, right? So, I mean, There are various guys there. So going into Nashville on Monday night, two questions, Darren. You know, what do you expect? Do you fully expect a greater sense of urgency considering coach's reaction? And then what will that look like, you think, on the field against the Titans?
Well, I think that since Wisenhunt in that aforementioned press conference said that he expects a more polished offense, especially and team overall, than he saw in the first game, I would certainly expect a better performance, because I don't think you get to be more polished unless, as Wolf mentioned, the coach is a little more demonstrative on the field and make sure that sense of urgency is there. So, yes, I do think that it will be a better performance, and I think it needs to be a better performance. And now you're going to be on national television, ESPN audience watching. I think this is where this team needs to make a major step forward. I think this is where Matt Leinart needs to make a major step forward. I mean, you thought Matt Leinart was already hearing the slings and arrows. If he goes out and struggles on national television, he's really going to hear it. And you're also going to be halfway through the preseason. Everybody's going to go, okay, where do we stand right now? So, yes, I do think it'll be a step forward. And even defensively, Wisenhunt was saying, as good as the Titans are running the ball, that will give their defense a good opportunity to make sure that they're lined up, because they had a couple of lineup alignment problems, he said. And that'll be a good test for the physical nature of where this team is going defensively.
My take, I think, is different than Darren's. I think Matt Leinart-Wolf is already the starter. And the QB question in camp right now is, can he do it? Can he lead this team to wins in the regular season? Can he lead this team to a third straight NFC West division title? I don't think the QB question anymore is who. It's more like, can Matt Leinart do it in the regular season?
Yeah, I would agree with that, Paul. I'm going to come down. I'm going to agree with you on that. I think Matt Leinart is the starter here. I think Matt has really got to continue to work on his timing, though, Paul. I think it's a timing issue. I think he is fine. I think he understands the offense. I think he knows where to go with the ball. He's just got to throw confidence and more conviction, and that will really help him. You've got to have that confidence when you know you're throwing the ball and that receiver is not even coming out of his break yet. You've got to throw that, but that takes confidence. To me, I think Matt is the guy. There's no question about that. But I will say, Coach Wiz is not going to let him know that. Coach Wiz is not going to just hand him the job. Coach Wiz is going to give Derek Anderson or anybody else the opportunity to show what they can do as well, because Coach Wisenhunt is not going to allow a player that is not established to just think that he is. That's just not in his DNA.
You know, in Nashville, they do not allow the camo shorts, just to let you know. So, Wolf, when you're packing for the week in Nashville, leave those in camp, okay? What happens at camp with the camo stays in camp. What else do we need to know about Nashville, Darren Urban, since we'll be out there the entire week? Anything we need to prepare for accordingly?
Nothing necessarily. I do believe it'll be a little more cooler than it would have been in Arizona had we come back and tried to practice in 110 degrees or whatever that is. So
that's a positive. There's no doubt about it.
And there's still a chance that this team will get a day of practice against the Titans after the Titans game, which...
I
didn't know that. Really?
That could be interesting.
What a nightmare.
I think that's still up in the air, but that had been talked about, and that's a possibility. So that could make it for a little more interesting week. But
yeah, rooting and a tooting, womping and a stomping, little spirited practice there against the Titans, perhaps.
Are you sure it's yeah, it'd be after the game? Oh my gosh, that is every veteran's nightmare to go out in a preseason game and lay it on the line and do it against some of these guys, and then to know that you're going to see them a day or two later out on the practice field. That is a complete and utter disaster for any veteran.
Bring it on. I'm going to double up on my ice cream on the sideline for that one. That's good stuff. For Ron Wolfley, Darren Urban, Jim Omahundra, I'm Paul Calvisi. Yet another edition of Cardinals Underground on azcardinals.com.